Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 15, beginning at the first verse, particularly verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. I'm sure that a lot of us here in the room today could say those words or sing those words from memory. But if you think about them for a moment, you'll realize that those well-known words are based on a well-known parable of our Lord Jesus. And that's today's gospel lesson, Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son. What's often forgotten about the parable, though, is that there's really two sons, aren't there? There are two sons. There's the bad son, or the prodigal, that we all know about. A prodigal comes from the Latin prodigus, which means lavish. And this is the son who couldn't be bothered with how his actions affected other people, who wandered off to live his colorful life until he was too lavish. He threw dollar bills around like they were nothing. He blew all his money, and he had to come back home broke. And so, the human heart says, a cautionary tale. Don't be like that. Don't live like that person. And the human heart also says, thankfully, though, there's not just the bad son, there's the good son. The good son who at least gives us some hope, because why? What did he do? He stayed home. He worked the farm. He got up with the cows. He went to bed with the stars at night. He shouldered his responsibilities. Thank God for the good son. And what we just did there by thinking in that way is pinning our hopes on the wrong son. Pinning our hopes on the wrong son, the older son, which in Jesus' parable, earthly story with a heavenly meaning, in Jesus' parable are the scribes and the Pharisees, the older son who does not go into the celebration of eternal life. As a matter of fact, he refuses to go into the party. And when his father, the Lord God in the parable, when his father comes out to plead with him to come into the house, what does he do? He blows his top at his father and at his brother. He is enraged that his meritorious conduct has not been taken into account. And he says, look. To his father, he says, look, all these years I have slaved for you. That's the word, slave. I have slaved for you, and I got nothing for it. And the younger son, the tax collectors and the sinners, because that's what he represents, he's ushered into the party. He is ushered into the celebration of eternal life. He is given the best robe to wear because he is the guest of honor. He is given the ring, the gold ring to wear. There is music and there is dancing. And what does the parable tell us? It says very clearly, and you better follow, the bad son goes to heaven and the good son goes to hell. The bad son goes to heaven and the good son goes to hell. And why? Well, it's all because the father seems to be suffering from some sort of amnesia. some kind of amnesia. He doesn't remember anything that the bad son has done. And actually, that's what he promised. Book of Hebrews, chapter 8, "For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." And that's a miracle. It's a strange miracle, but it's a miracle that, unlike you and me, the good Lord can actually forget. The good Lord can actually forget the wrong that was done to him, what we call sin, what the Bible calls sin. Why? Because it went on his son Jesus in the cross, and on that cross it was washed away. It's like the old hymn says, "He only will with patience chide, his rod falls gently down, and all your sins he casts aside in ocean depths to drown." The Father does not remember. He does not remember any of the wrong that was done toward him. But keep with this, nor does he remember anything that the older son has done right. He doesn't remember it. And the reason why is because it wasn't right. It wasn't right. The older son, we say, yeah, but he stayed home. Sure he did. He worked the farm. Yes, he did. He got up with the cows. Yes, he did. He went to bed with the stars at night. Yes, he did. He shouldered his responsibilities. And why did he do all these things? He did all these things to merit the farm, to earn the farm, to be owed the farm. Which is really rather strange, because it was already his. He was the older brother, right? It was already his, a gift from his Father in heaven. And you don't think for a moment that the good Lord doesn't see through that. Does the Lord not see through that? He can't see down deep in the human heart and see that it's nothing but pride. Pride that is not going to take charity. Pride that is going to do for God instead of God doing for you. Pride that makes the good Lord owe you one. Pride that expects to be well and faithfully compensated for services rendered. Pride that resents another person getting in the easy way, in the back door. Pride that cannot understand how God could reward the bad and curse the good. Pride that cannot understand how merit will not make the Lord sit up and take notice. These two fellows, the bad brother and the good brother, you can tell that they're related to each other. You can tell that they're relatives. They're so much alike. They're like peas in a pod. They're two sides of the same coin, because both of them sin against their father. And that is something that God's holy word brings home to us over and over again. You know the verse, Book of Romans, all have what? Sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many have sinned? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter what brother or sister you are, which way you're going. Book of Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, our Savior Jesus, the iniquity of us all. It's a message that comes again and again in the Holy Scripture. And what is it doing? What is God's holy word doing for us? It's showing us the human heart. It's showing you your heart. These brothers are the human heart. It doesn't matter which way you're going. It's the human heart. You can be like the younger brother, running off into selfish hedonism, living only for pleasure and delight in this world. Or you can be the human heart running away from God into self-righteous legalism, hoping to earn a place with God. We sang about that a few moments ago. We sang, in Adam we have all been one. We're unified. In Adam we have all been one. One huge rebellious man. We all have fled that evening voice that sought us as we ran. Doesn't matter that one's running this way or one's running that way. We're like a bunch of cats. We just run away. All one huge rebellious man. Which is why The Lord in his word does not let you and me fall into simplistic thinking like the scribes and the Pharisees, that in this world there are good people and bad people, and I am one of the good people. When you start hearing that kind of talk, what you're dealing with is the religion of this world, the religion that is so common, that is in the human heart, the book of Romans tells us. And with that human religious way of thinking, recognize this: the good Lord is not going to let you get away with it. He will not let you get away with it. It will not wash on the day of judgment. There's only one thing that washes on the day of judgment, and that is the blood and the pardon and the forgiveness and the cleansing and the atonement that comes through Jesus Christ. Your hope and my hope is in one thing, and that is God's perfect amnesia. His perfect amnesia, that he forgets your sins, they went on to Jesus and they're atoned for. And not only that, follow this, that he forgets your merits. The merits that you would take and hold up before God and say, see, I did this, or I did this, or at least they did that, but I did something better. He forgets those merits. How could they be merits before Almighty God? You know, you thank the good Lord that he doesn't judge you by your sins and he doesn't judge you by your merits, but he judges you by a different standard altogether. He judges you by not what you did, what Jesus did. Not by what you atoned for, by what Jesus atoned for. Not by what you merited, but by what Jesus merited. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God the Father put forward as an atoning sacrifice by his blood to be received by faith. Yes, Lord, I believe. That's my faith. My hope is built on what? Nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Which is great, because you know the good Lord, he can be prodigal too. He can be prodigal as well. He can be lavish too. Book of Ephesians chapter 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. And so we sing. We sing the words of the parable, the words of the prodigal son. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.